You know when the weather finally gets nice and suddenly you just want to be outside all the time? That's exactly why I lean on Instacart. It honestly gives me so much of my time back. I can put together my whole list, fresh produce, snacks, stuff for grilling, and set my preferences so the quality is exactly what I want without ever having to run to the store. I've used delivery through Instacart for everything from last minute barbecue plans to just restocking during my busy week. The best part is how easy it is. Like, I can place an order in the morning and keep my day moving, knowing everything is handled. It makes those spontaneous summer plans way less stressful because I don't have to choose between being prepared and actually enjoying my time. It's pretty awesome. Instacart brings convenience, quality, and ease right to your door, so you can focus on what matters most. Download the Instacart app now and get groceries just how you like.
Hey.
Hey.
You think we could eat every grocery store salsa?
Yeah, man. I think we're born for this.
This is a hot dog is a sandwich.
Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What? Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, the show we break down the world's biggest food debates. I'm your host, Josh Scherer.
And I'm your host, Nicole Anaiti.
And today we will be attempting to overcome our Jewish digestive genes by eating every grocery store salsa. This is what happens.
My doctor was like, hey, you can't have dairy anymore. And I'm like, aw. And she's like, you can have goat though. And I'm like, okay. So I tried goat milk for the first time. Delicious.
Is this your real doctor or the doctor that told you to stop eating almonds?
Oh, this is another doctor.
There's another one.
The almond doctor, she was like an almond mom doctor. She was an almond mom doctor.
They exist.
Yeah.
I've previously had, this is a fun type of doctor, a powerlifting doctor, who was kind of like, you need to keep lifting weights or else bad things are going to happen. And so I love That's when crazy. Doctors verify what you already know to be mm-hmm, true. Mm-hmm. I have another doctor, my primary care physician mm-hmm. that I don't know. I had like a 15-minute appointment and they prescribed me 4 things and I felt like that was too much.
That's a lot.
Writing one prescription every 3.75 minutes was like kind of a lot.
4 is a lot.
4 is a lot.
That's too much.
Yeah. I mean, some of them were like, one was like I showed her the painful bump on my foot and she was like, it's probably a callus. And I was like, I don't think it. And then she like wrote me a prescription for a callus remover. I don't know. It was
You should
a lot.
Get a new PCP.
I know. And I love PCP more than anything.
Yeah, but Sherm today, sticks. We're all about Sherm sticks.
Oh, God. What a throwback.
Mythical.
Nicole, today we're not talking about Sherm sticks. We're talking about grocery store salsas. There are mm-hmm. so many of them.
Almost as many, I would say too many salsas to your too many prescriptions that were offered to you in 15 minutes.
What a tremendous segue. I don't know if there's too many salsas. Well, today we're going to find out to see how many of them are so similar mm-hmm. because salsa is obviously just Spanish for sauce. Right? But if you go to like a Mexican restaurant, you go to like a taquero worth their salt and mm-hmm. they have, you know, they might have a salsa bar that has 6 different kinds of salsas on
Correct.
It, which is always wonderful. And I love seeing the multivariants of color. I love seeing like a dark green, a bright green, a creamy green, an orange. Oh, you get like a black salsa, like
a chipotle
charred chili salsa.
Give me a black salsa all day.
A salsa roja, like a chili dera. But you know, like all these... None of those salsas are the salsas that we're talking about today, right?
No, these are all going to be primarily, I would say, tomato-based medium sauces with a little bit of something. Now, that something can be a strong cumin flavor, a strong onion flavor, a strong cilantro flavor, a strong jalapeno flavor, maybe a combination of all of those, maybe none of those. I'm very excited to try it.
Is this an American, not an invention, but like, okay, so this is like... Salsa jitomate, right? Like mm-hmm. a tomato-based salsa is obviously like very common in a lot of Mexican foods. Mm-hmm. Even getting something like a torta ahogada or like a tacos dorados where there's like a very
thin
tomato sauce on it.
Almost like a tomato broth at that
Almost
point.
Like a tomato broth, yeah.
Yeah.
But like this isn't that, but this also isn't quite like a salsa that you'd make in like a molcajete, right?
I mean, you could potentially depending on how long you molcajete it for.
Sure, but this is like a
it's
very
the
unique.
Same.
There's something about like the shelf stability of it because all the stuff you would put in salsa, it's not very shelf stable, right?
Well, like, you could say
I mean,
that about
ferment.
Anything. You could say that about any shelf stable item. You could say that about jarred pasta sauce.
Like jarred pasta sauce?
Yeah. What about jarred pasta sauce?
People but I guess jarred pasta sauce is like it's cooked down very heavily, right? In a way that a lot of salsas, I don't think you would consider them to be like
they're salsa crude. So they're salsa cruda, which is going to be like your raw salsa, also as like a pico de gallo.
Yeah, yeah.
And then a lot of salsas are actually cooked down too.
But they'll be like roasted.
Not always.
Pretty quickly, right?
Not like, always.
I don't know. No, you're right. You're right.
Not always. Sometimes you boil the tomatoes to get the skin off and then you concasse it and then you put it in the blender and then you cook it down more.
But there's something unique about this style of salsa.
Paste
picante sauce. That to me tastes so immutably American versus even if you go to a Mexican grocery store, like a great one in especially the Valley in LA, it's called Vallarta, their chain, or Northgate Gonzalez is another great one, or El Super. But you go there and you get their like salsas that are in a deli cup and none of them taste.
This is not that test.
These are like sweet, they're acidic, they taste heavily of like cooked canned tomato. And they're delicious. We all grew up on them.
Yeah. To be fair, we decided to go with jarred, shelf-stable, tomato-based medium salsas instead of the stuff you get, you know, in your grocery aisle or something that is made in store because, you know, in America, not everybody has access to that. Sometimes all you can get is the jarred stuff. So let's find the best jarred stuff we can.
This to me is all – this is like the orange chicken of salsa. You know, it's like a uniquely American product, especially paste picante sauce.
This is paste chunky.
This is not paste picante sauce.
I was considering getting the picante sauce, but I was like, you know what? We are tasting medium salsas. Let's taste medium salsas.
Give me those.
Are you just going to drink it? Don't do that.
Okay. No, I want to eat it like a gazpacho because I think you can't eat this like a gazpacho.
It is just white people taco night.
This is so, I could eat this jar with a spoon.
Dude, my mom, every time we'd go to Baja Fresh, she would just eat the pico de gallo on the side like it was a salad.
It's Shirazi.
Pretty much Shirazi salad.
It literally is.
What do you rate this paste salsa? Give me your thoughts, feelings, and then rate it for me.
To me, paste is the baseline from which all like white people taco night salsas, and that's exactly what these are. You're so right. This is white people taco night salsa.
It's sweeter than I was anticipating.
It's so sweet, but it's so salty and acidic. It's really a lot of things balanced in one.
It's a chutney.
It's like a chutney. It's a chutney, dude.
This is a tomato chutney.
Especially if you add like more warm spices in there and like it's a chutney. It's incredible.
Whoa.
How much sugar is in there?
Added sugar?
Just sugar in general.
Total sugar
is
1 gram of total sugars.
Really? Per what?
For 2 tablespoons worth.
Yeah, at that point it's hard when you're eating such a small quantity in there. But it tastes like quite sweet. It tastes like stewed tomato.
It's sweeter than I was anticipating.
To me, this is like the very middle of the bell curve. This is
a strong 5.
It depends if you're considering that a 5 or a 7. Because I do NBA dunk contest rules where an average dunk is a 7.
I see.
You know what I mean?
I do not.
Any fans of the NBA dunk contest?
I used to watch them I used to watch compilations. I'm a big compilations person.
Yeah.
Compilations, like whenever I would watch like Cyphers. Would you ever watch like the
Cyphers? Oh my God, the XXL rookie Cypher or whatever?
You know the Tech 9 Cypher?
No.
Okay.
Send me your favorite Cyphers.
Okay. The Tech 9 Cypher, nothing beats it. Because he's like up against like Designer and like a bunch of other random like rappers that
Tech 9 just destroy him?
Destroys them.
Have you seen there's the XXL Freestyle rookie class Cypher?
And
it's like, it's like Lil Dicky.
Yes.
Anderson Paak, which Anderson Paak is an incredible musician, but he's not a rapper. And he goes out there and like earnestly gives it his best. Yeah. And then there's, God,
there's Lil Dicky.
Is there like DaBaby or not DaBaby? No,
no, Designer.
Where he's just going like,
yeah. Okay, so I mixed up my ciphers. That happens to me sometimes. But Lil Dicky honestly holds his own. And he does incredible.
No, not only holds his own, he comes in there and just wraps circles around people. And I don't doubt that he wasn't freestyling, that he prepared, whatever. But that is one of the best YouTube videos of Designer just going up there.
Lil Dicky, what are you doing later? Come on the show.
Lil Dicky, come on the show, man. Got a great podcast out with Benny Blanco.
Oh, great. Have both of you guys come on the show. Come back, Benny. We'll chat. Now we're trying Cholula.
Interesting.
What is your thoughts about hot sauces going into the salsa world? Because Tapatio has done it. Tabasco's done it. Cholula, I think, has done it the best.
This one tastes Mexican.
That tastes like Cholula.
This tastes like Cholula. I mean, this is one 3 to 4 times hotter than the paste.
Spicier than I was anticipating.
This is significantly less sweet.
Mm-hmm.
This is heavily spiced. There's like
arbol peppers.
Is it just chili or is there actual spice in there?
Let me see.
What's interesting is it seems to not have any, either not have any thickening agents or the tomatoes aren't like stewed down and blended. Because when you stew tomatoes down and blend them, you kind of get a lot of that tomato fiber that can thicken stuff.
There's a lot of cumin in it.
There's, wait, is there cumin on the label?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's what you're tasting, yeah.
Heavy cumin, heavy salt. I still taste that stewed tomato. And there's also a lot like peppery, jalapenos. You get a lot of that roasted jalapeno flavor. Tastes good.
This is delicious. This sort of walks that line. It's heavy, almost heavier on the cumin than I want, though.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say what other chilies are in here? Jalapeno. There is arbol. Okay.
Yeah, jalapeno and arbol.
So the arbol, that is what, to me, a lot of these salsas are missing. And that's what I love. Like, if I make, like, a salsa molcajete at home, mm-hmm. I love combining, like, the acidity of tomatillos with that, like, huge pepper kick and spice of arbol,
mm-hmm.
and then, like, a dark, dusky chili heat, like guajillo or something.
Sure.
And those are the salsas that I think are, like, really, really wonderful or when you get the dried mixed with the fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what a lot of the American salsas are missing. Cholula, it rode that line really well.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of awesome. That's a great product that exists.
I give it an 8.
I get that name.
I think that's the most Mexican salsa I've eaten in a long time.
Yeah, from the jarred category.
From the jarred category, yes. Now, this is my favorite, late July. Now, why do I like this one? Because it's almost always on sale. And that's how I shop nowadays. I buy what's on sale and what doesn't look gross. I'll say this, the texture of it.
This is crazy, dude. The texture is crazy.
You don't like the texture?
This looks like gazpacho.
Yeah, and it tastes like it too. The tomato flavor is beautiful.
This is a soup.
I like it.
This is delicious, but it's like a soup.
Is there basil in there?
Salsa?
Do I detect a taste?
May I sip from the jar?
No.
Why?
I don't want you to.
I want to.
I am saying no.
Give it back.
Hold on.
I'm going to slurp it
I'm
off of this.
I'm reading. Organic diced tomatoes, onion, jalapeno peppers, garlic water, organic garlic, organic dried garlic, lots of garlic, dried onions.
It tastes like a soup.
Spices, potato flour, and turmeric. Jalapeno peppers. Okay.
Wait, where do jalapeno peppers come in?
After
potato flour?
No. They're like fourth.
Okay.
Okay, very, very high in the onion and granulated garlic. Wow, it does taste like a soup. After tasting the Cholula one, why do I buy this? It's delicious. They should rebrand it as...
As a sip and
soup.
Salsa.
As a sip and soup. Delicious. I could eat that all day.
Yeah, it's like well-seasoned. It's delightful. The garlic punch is incredible. It's acidic. It just is in no way. Is that salsa? What if you took... There's almost too much acid in it. I was going to say, if you took a whole plate of, like, taquitos or tacos dorados or flatas or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and you, like, drowned it in this.
I would eat that. That's more similar. Okay, fair.
Tito's tacos.
Fair.
There's a class of Mexican restaurant in LA that, like, they're, like, older than 50 years.
Yeah.
To the point where they really had to mold a lot of their food around the current, you know, taste buds of people. So, like, taco sauce, for instance, the idea of taco sauce was literally meant to bridge the gap between salsa and ketchup. So that's why it's, like, kind of sweet, kind of spicy.
Is that why I like it so much?
But yeah, and I mean, I grew up eating taco sauce on my elementary school tacos and stuff in the school lunch line. It's, like, delightful. But it was meant to bridge that gap. And so you go to a place like Tito's Tacos is a taco legend in Los Angeles. Yeah. People line up for it. The only thing like better than a Tito's Tacos is two. Everyone knows the mm-hmm. slogan. There are these crispy, hard shell, shredded yellow cheddar on there. And they serve it with a salsa and, like, a lot of it. You get, like, 8 ounces of tomato salsa.
Mm-hmm. And just dip it in there.
It's just so watered down, 85% tomatoes. But you, like, soak the whole taco in there. And it almost softens the crisp of it.
It's delicious. This has such a pleasant aftertaste, though, in comparison to the other two. Like, the late July aftertaste, the acid in there, it kind of makes your mouth water and want to eat more.
Yeah, in a way that a nice gazpacho does on a hot day. I agree. This is a 6.
It's a 4. After tasting
No, because I wouldn't rather have this over paste. If I'm eating chips and salsa, I would get paste
okay,
over
fine.
That.
Fine. I'll give it a 5, too.
I have to give it a 4.
It's
a 7 on the gazpacho scale. And it's a 4 on the salsa scale.
Yeah, I think it's a 4 on the salsa scale, which you know, I'm just going to have to go back and probably not buy this anymore, but that's okay. How insightful. Okay, now let's try these guys.
That's crazy off rip.
This is Foddy.
Foddy?
Foodie Foddy, we're not sure.
I've never seen this. I don't think I've ever seen this
brand
before. So
this is specifically made for people with FODMAP, like allergens. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, it's like basically anyone that gets an upset tummy, right?
Yeah, it's for like people with like IBS and SIBO and stuff. The FODMAP diet pretty much eliminates things that can like irritate your stomach. So things like onions, things like garlic.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm really curious to know how this tastes because I know a lot of people that
but
are
But this isn't
on
like
FODMAP.
Because there's like low acid tomato sauces for people with sensitive, but that's like an acid reflux thing, right? So this is just right. No onion, no garlic.
Taste it. That's pretty good. Again, very tomato forward.
There's kind of a weird bitter aftertaste on it, and I can't tell what it is. But yeah, I mean, this is basically if you took a Pace picante sauce and took out the onions.
Yes. Yeah, there's a bitter tomato flavor. It's almost like tomato seed, tomato skin flavor.
Yeah, why? That doesn't need to be in there.
Diced tomatoes, tomato puree. Maybe it's the tomato puree. Jalapeno peppers, cilantro, apple cider vinegar, sea salt, lime juice, concentrate, cumin.
Could be bitterness from a lime juice concentrate. Could be the way that things are just sort of interacting in the jar. I've never heard of this brand before, though. It's really cool that there's a FODMAP-friendly brand that's out there.
Low FODMAP, bloat-free, and vegan.
I'll give it a 4.
I think this is a little bit tastier than the Late July.
Do you really? I'd rather have the Late July. I'd rather have that nice gazpacho.
Can we taste it next to each other? Yeah. Okay. Take the lid off of the FODMAP. Or the foodie, or whatever.
It's probably FODMAP, if it's a FODMAP friendly.
Yeah, I think it's FODMAP.
The Late July is really nice. It's really nice.
Now do you see why I like it?
I really do. There's something astringent.
Probably the apple cider vinegar.
Could be apple cider vinegar. Could be something. Late July.
Okay, Late July is better.
Cumin. Cumin's one of those weird things, man, that we so over-index on cumin in Mexican-American food.
Yeah, I agree. I think a more prevalent flavor is like oregano.
Maybe. Well,
I love oregano in my
food. The idea of using herbs and spices as like the only way to flavor food is like really strange. You know what I mean?
As opposed to
everything else. So like for instance, like salsa.
What do you mean?
Chilies, right? You don't need cumin or oregano in a lot of Mexican sauces. Mm-hmm. And some of them, they're really fun. Especially you get like a mole that's like very sort of hyper-spiced, but like a mole is meant to be like a celebratory kind of dish, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? It's really cool. But like sauces don't like need cumin, especially when you're working with like chilies that have wonderful, wonderful flavors
to
them, right?
Yeah, but they help. They help carry the food story, I think.
If they're helping. But I'm saying there's instances where I think they can hurt. You know, especially just dropping cumin into like a random jarred salsa.
Do you think
cumin
hurt any of these four that you've tried so
Cholula.
Far?
Cholula. I think it would have been better without the cumin.
A little bit less cumin would have
been
nice.
Let the chili de arbol shine. It's too cumin heavy. It kind of cumin to me in a lot of Mexican food almost read cartoonish.
I see.
You know what I mean?
I wouldn't say it's cartoonish. I think it's excessive. But I don't think it's cartoonishly excessive.
Yeah.
I would give FODMAP a 3. Now, what we're trying now, can you read the label? I don't know.
This is Herda Salsa Casera.
Which means house salsa.
This tastes like a Mexican restaurant salsa if you put it in a jar and let it all kind of soften together. You know what I mean?
Cool. That's the freshest tomato flavor I've tasted so far. That is a really, really fresh tomato flavor.
And this is an actual Mexican brand. It's not sweet.
Nope, not at all.
This tastes like the salsa that is on the table at older Mexican restaurants in LA.
I really do like it.
Like, you ever go you go to a place called, like, there's a spot in Orange County, Don Jose, that we had. And you have to pronounce it Don Jose. You go to Don Jose's in HB, dude. But, like, you know, these, like, very old adobe Mexican restaurants, kind of like in El Torito before they rebranded to El Torito Grill. Stuff like that. A lot of their salsa caseras, their house salsas, like, they kind of taste like that. And they taste more like that than any of the American brands that we've had.
My gosh. It's just tomatoes, green chili peppers, salt, and cilantro.
That's so funny. There's no onion in there?
No.
FODMAP friendly.
Who would have thought?
But I feel the same way about people putting garlic in guacamole.
I don't always put garlic in guacamole.
Garlic and black pepper. Sometimes
you don't need it.
I don't know. And this isn't like a purism thing. I know there's a lot of people that put a lot of different ingredients and things. Mm. But to me, man, like, it's really good, dude. I give that. I don't think it's as good as the Cholula. The Cholula one is just like really freaking awesome. I give Herda's like a 7.
Oh my gosh. This is better than Cholula to me.
You think so?
It's just pure good tomato flavor.
I love, there it is, dude.
Also, the acid in there, how pleasant.
I know.
Wow. I'm going to give this a 9.
Give it a 9?
I'm giving Salsa Casera Famerdes a 9.
Herdez Salsa Verde is also the best. Also, I have to clear something up. There's a video, there's a Sporked video of me saying what I'd spend $10 on at the grocery store.
Uh-huh.
And I say, and a lot of people say, wow, Josh is so out of touch. He doesn't know the price of things. One, that thing was shot like 5 years ago, and groceries have gotten literally 30% more expensive since then. But I said, get a can of Herdez Salsa Verde for 79 cents. And the graphic they showed, you screwed me, Sporked social editor, who I'm sure was R.I.P. fired years ago. But what was her name? You remember? Redhead. But anyways. But
Josh was talking about the can, not the jar.
I was talking about the can, and then they showed the jar, and the jar is like $4.99.
Josh is talking
about
the cans.
They used to be 79 cents pre-inflation, but then post-inflation, they're up to 99 cents at some grocery stores, $1.19 in others. But they're little cans. They sell cans of Herdez Salsa Verde.
I was thinking about getting cans, but I'm like, no, we got to do glass jars. I love cans of El Pato. If you know, know. If you
El Pato the duck.
If you ever shopped at 99 cents only store, yep. RIP to that, the El Pato sauce, I would always grab a can.
At the food bank, we have a bunch of like plastic bags that get donated.
Uh-huh.
It's like, you know, those little things that you take for granted are hard to get.
Mm-hmm.
We have thousands of 99 cents only plastic bags. And I'm like, ooh, RIP.
Great times.
I know.
I spent so much time and money at 99 cents.
Dude, same.
Well, your dad worked there, so.
No, my dad worked at an independent 99 cents store, not at a 99 cents only.
What?
We shopped a lot at 99 cents only.
This whole time I thought your dad was an employee of 99 cents only store.
No, he was an employee of Rite Aid. He worked at Rite Aid. That's where he got fired for stealing all the ice cream.
My brother worked at Long's Drugs. Remember Long's Drugs?
Long's, oh my God. That's crazy.
Okay.
This feels, it hardly tastes.
This feels performative. You want to know why? Because there's two white guys on it.
What are their names, Brad?
The Salsa
and Brad?
Twins. I don't know if you guys are actually white. I don't like this. It's very watery.
So I think about the wateriness
though,
a lot, dude.
But it's spicy. There's a lot of spice, but no flavor.
Yeah. That's interesting. The spice isn't bad.
Oh, are all natural salsas made on the beautiful estate of the iconic El Pinto restaurant in Albuquerque, New Mexico? I am watching Better Call Saul right now.
Hey-o.
For the first time ever. Great show. I think this is lacking in flavor and acid, but brings the heat.
Yeah. I'd give it like a maybe a 5-6. I think
I'm
like,
going to give it a 4.5.
You'd rather have paste than that?
Almost every single freaking day, bro.
Yeah, it's kind of neck and neck for that. It's again, one of those things, like, I bet El Pinto as a restaurant is like awesome. You know what I mean?
Sure. I would love to visit the restaurant. Also, it's made with Hatch chilies, which is special.
I love a Hatch chili. But I will say a Hatch chili is best when it's left as
roasted.
A Hatch chili. You know what I mean? It's like, mm-hmm. The more you can kind of taste it. Once you blend Hatch chilies into a salsa with a bunch of tomatoes and stuff.
You lose it.
Then it just gets a little bit lost. But you just take fresh roasted. You ever have the chile that Lily's mother-in-law makes?
No.
Dude, she brought it and they get Hatch chili. Because I think Alex's family's like from New Mexico.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh.
And they get like Hatch chilies once a year. Just, you know, free. Just
from family.
Freezer
yeah.
bag and sent out.
Uh-huh.
And her mother-in-law makes just like, you know, a classic green chile with like, you know, some onion and kind of stewed down.
Pork?
Dude, it's awesome. No, so like just like the way the term chile is used,
because mm-hmm.
it refers to the plant, but then you say like, oh, I've made it like a green chile.
Uh-huh.
And it's like that can either refer to just a sort of like salsa or almost even like a paste.
Okay.
But if you say you made like chile verde for lunch, it's like, oh, that's pork. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Different ways
it's
to use it.
It's just the way culture and language shapes your life. Next up,
La Victoria.
Now, La Victoria was what I would always consider the consequent, like the OG Mexican brand salsa was always La Victoria.
This to me is the gallon brand. You get this by the gallon.
Yes, you get this by the gallon at Smart and Final.
I'm eating this at a pool party.
Oh yeah, this is the best. This is better than Pace when it comes to pool party salsa. Is it good?
No,
it's bad. So bad. Does it taste metallic?
It's so bad.
Oh my God, I just got chills.
We were eating this as a kid.
Oh my God, oh my God. My body just
Wait,
shook
grab the paste,
violently.
grab the paste.
Well, my body just shook violently.
This tastes so much more like a jarred pasta sauce than it does a salsa.
Ah! Gross.
That's so funny, dude.
It does taste like pool party, though.
This is crazy. This is 80% tomatoes. And then, okay, the ingredients on this, I've never seen anything like this. Number one. tomatoes. Oh, the ingredients in the tomatoes are tomatoes, tomato juice, citric acid, and then tomato puree, which is tomato paste in water, Santa Fe peppers, whatever that is.
Random.
Vinegar, garlic. Yeah, there's so little ingredients, so few ingredients in there.
Why is it called Suprema salsa if there's nothing Suprema about it?
That's a two, man.
That's a one.
It's funny how much better the pace is.
I would say that La Victoria is good for like, what's it called? It's not pool parties. What is it? Frat houses.
Yeah, you get a gallon of that.
La Victoria
is... You need something to chase your zins with, like get a La Victoria.
Could you imagine being in college when zins were popular?
I lived with so many Scandinavian people.
Oh, and they had
them?
They
were just dipping constantly. Not zins, but like proper tobacco dips. And I tried it once and I just felt so sick. Like, yeah. Spiritually and physically. I was like, how are you doing this, dude?
Now we're trying Mateo's gourmet salsa.
Logan, this is your brand?
Yes.
Mateo's?
Let's see.
I love Mateo's.
I do love the texture of this.
Tomatoes, water, jalapeno, cilantro, red wine vinegar. Okay. I mean, pretty much all the traditional ingredients, but this does look texturally nice. It's so upsetting.
I was waiting for your response.
Logan, that's awful.
It's awful.
Logan, I'm so sorry.
I love it.
The texture of it.
It's bruschetta.
The Mexican bruschetta. There's something gravelly about the texture.
Yeah,
I don't know how they've gotten tomatoes to be that hard within a liquid. It's almost like you ever go to Sonic and they put the nerds in the slush and you're kind of crunching through nerds.
No, because I love myself.
Do you have anything nice to say about it, maybe?
I love the way it looked.
Okay.
But the way it tastes, listen, the Mateo's red jar, that's good. This is not very good. It's like Mexican bruschetta and it's bad Mexican bruschetta. And I never want to eat it again. But for the sake of this podcast, I will eat it again.
A nice thing to say. Seeing the jar and knowing how you felt about it, I was excited.
Ew.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I felt genuine excitement.
Good.
On a human level. Until I ate it. Sort of went away.
Put it away. That's a zero.
Oh my God.
No, I put a three. I have this above La Victoria.
No, I think La Victoria and Mateo's.
La Vic is tough for me right now.
They're both a one. Okay, now we're trying Tostitos. Most classic.
My thoughts. Tostitos are the salsa. When I think about like a jarred salsa to dip chips, and I know I've said various things about all these, but this is sort of the quintessence, right? I think pace. I don't know if I have the timeline right here. Pace picante sauce is a little bit thinner than the Pace chunky salsa. I think Pace had to make a chunky salsa to compete with Tostitos.
Tastes like sugar. Tastes like sugar.
It's just sugar.
It is
very chunky.
It's for the American palate. I'll say that.
But the Pace is more balanced than this.
I agree, but Americans like sugar. And oh, 100%. Listen, man, this isn't next to the salsas. Where is this located? This is next to the Cheetos Puffs and the Chex Mixes. You're not getting this next to the rest of these guys. This is literally, they paid specifically for the space to be next to the other chips, not just the tortilla chips, the other chips. Like I said, the Cheetos and the Chex Mixes. So they know that your palate, you like things that are deceptively sweet. You like things that are a little bit like, almost too umami, that your mouth tastes bad, that you need to eat more. Very, very smart, the people of Tostitos. I think this is delicious. Again, I'm going in for more because I want to, not because I feel bad.
It's such a lateral move from Pace. I don't know that I could differentiate. Can I have the Pace?
Is this our North Star?
Kind of. I mean, we rated it a 5, but I'm curious if these taste any different.
I think the Tostitos is sweeter than the Pace.
Dude. They're so close, though.
No.
No, you're right. There's a cloying.
It's cloying, but it's good for the American palate because I like cloying.
I give it like a 4.9 just because it's
6.
A little bit. You have it above the Pace?
Yes, absolutely.
What?
It tastes better.
The f*** out of here.
No, you get the f*** out of here. Okay.
Okay, wait, here. Open this because I need to talk about the ethnic food aisle. And some places still call it the ethnic food aisle. Some places call the international food aisle.
That's better.
Some places call it some people just say Asian and Mexican. And you could try and parse through why they've labeled what the way they have. But I will say there's an entire section just in my local Ralph's that says raisins instead of dried fruit. And I think that's weird because it's where all the dried fruit is and it just says raisins. But anyways, it's really interesting. Like Nicole was talking about, the Tostitos, that is below the chips. And the Tostitos also have queso and they have a ranch dip and a
the bean
artichoke.
Dip?
The bean dip?
Honey, the dips. Bean dip.
But it's so interesting when you go to the condiment aisle and see what salsas and hot sauces they have versus going to the international aisle and seeing what Mexican salsas. And it's like you don't know where to go.
It's and there's day.
Even at my local Ralph's, there's a, it's the Jewish Ralph's is what people call it because there's a huge kosher section.
Yeah.
But there'll be a lot of like Middle Eastern ingredients.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, the bad tahini is in this section. The good tahini, you have to go to the other part of the store.
Right.
They have pomegranate juice from concentrate at that section, but pomegranate molasses in that section.
Right.
And so it's kind of funny in the way that, like, you know, America is becoming even more and more of like an international conglomerate. You know, salsa sales surpassed ketchup sales, becoming America's top condiment in 1992 for the first time.
It's incredible. It's been like teetering in the top five behind like mayonnaise and ketchup, things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Salsa's a big deal.
Salsa's a huge deal.
Taste
also,
that.
You eat such large quantities of
I
it.
Have to interrupt real mm-hmm. quick.
What's up?
So I texted Jordan Myrick that mm-hmm. you guys hated Mateos
yeah.
because Jordan Myrick loves Mateos. Got
sure.
me onto it. This was their response. It's just that. It says that's for Josh.
Yeah, yeah. Jordan is, just for the audio-only listeners, Jordan is flipping off, I believe flipping off me
flipping
in front of a Mateos salsa.
Is it the same one?
It's the same one.
Oh,
but also, more just looks like Jordan is flipping off the salsa, sort of channeling me. It's going to be a bit Jordan message received loud and clear. I just think, it's not that you're wrong. It's not that we're wrong. It's that there's just so many different de gustibus non est disputandum, Jordan. Does that mean nothing to you?
So bad. That's Latin for whatever floats your boat, honey.
true.
On the border, hate the name.
Kel flotis botis, Brute.
I hate the name. The flavor's pretty good. I think I'll give it a 7.
Really?
It has cumin. It has sugar. It has a strong tomato flavor. It has spice.
This tastes Middle Eastern. The cumin. It's the
and
cumin.
What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong. No, there's nothing wrong.
It's on the border,
Josh. There's nothing wrong. It's on the border of Syria and Lebanon.
that was a good one.
Thank you.
You make me laugh.
I'd give this a 3. I don't.
I give it a 7.
This to me is, I think they have made.
It tastes like matzoha?
The wonderful. a little bit. They've taken the wonderful, like, sugary, acidic, salty paste and Tostitos format.
Can you eat it with a chip?
I'll eat it with a
just
chip.
Have an open
and
mind.
Then they've kind of. I do have an open mind.
Opener.
I have such an open mind.
More opened.
Okay.
Just eat it.
I'm trying to get the chunks.
You don't like it with the chip? It tastes better with the chip than it does.
I like all these. To be clear,
even
if I had just an open jar of these and a bowl of chips, nothing would stop me from draining any of
or
them.
Or a rotisserie chicken.
Oh, actually, yeah, a rotisserie chicken. Okay.
Next up, these are Josh. Josh literally was like, oh, you're holding the okay.
Well, so this is Casa Martinez, which is my favorite shelf-stable jarred salsa brand.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is their salsa quemada, which is like...
Which means roasted?
Yeah, yeah. Which is like... Right, means roasted?
Well, I know it from leche quemada, which means this like means, burnt.
It doesn't mean smoke though, right?
It means burnt. Like, yeah, I know yeah. quemada
charred.
As burnt. I'm sorry. That texture is really weird.
Yeah, this is thicker than I remember.
Oh my God, is there xanthan gum in there?
There
oh my God, why does it have that... Oh my God, it has like a pull.
I don't
oh my
like
God.
It.
It has like a weird like
is this right?
Like gelatinous pool. Oh, Josh. It has like a weird gelatinous like pooling
now.
To it. Tastes good. I mean, the taste is very nice, but the texture's something's going on.
Yeah, it's just straight cornstarch.
Oh no.
That's
Casa
tough.
Martinez.
That's a bad showing for it. That's a bad showing for it. Wait. No, I love them. Because this is the one that I actually get. This
Josh,
is their Chipotle salsa.
Josh asked me to get
I'm
their Chipotle
sorry,
salsa.
I hate disappointing people.
You didn't disappoint
especially
anyone.
Especially after I crapped on Jordan Meyer's salsa.
This is not your day today.
This is their Chipotle salsa.
Now, I don't think it's fair necessarily to put Chipotle salsa against these, like, salsa rojas. It does taste good. It tastes fine. It's kind of boring.
Dude, did they, like, add cornstarch to their salsas recently?
Josh, I'm so sorry. Your favorite is bad. Not to say that mine is any better because mine tastes like gazpacho.
Yeah. Maybe there's like, maybe we've learned that your choice of salsa It's really personal. It comes down to nostalgia. It comes down to personal preference because I love this. I think it's the best tasting thing in the world.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I think you're lying.
I swear to God they added cornstarch.
I think you might be a pace man. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that.
I ain't like those city slickers that come into Texas. I eat real salsa like pace picante sauce.
There's nothing wrong with liking pace picante sauce or pace salsa. You're just, it's just white people taco night. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. White people taco night serves its purpose. And so does pace salsa.
But ultimately, I think our winner in terms of the highest aggregate... Erdez. I think it was a tie between Erdez and Cholula, but I'm willing to give the nod to Erdez for being the most classic salsa.
Erdez, your salsa casera is wonderful.
Erdez, you do wonderful work. Big fan.
I'm going to crown it with a chip.
All right, Nicole, I've heard you and I said now it's time to find out whether accurate is badly out there in yours. Time for the segment we call Opinions Are Like Casseroles.
Josh, be serious.
We're not wearing headphones. That's on account of the fact that we can't get the headphones to work.
That's okay.
Also, to address Nicole's accusation of me not taking the little jingle seriously, we started this podcast, what, 6 years ago?
Yeah, you should still be enthusiastic and still feeling the same way you did with the first, second, third, fourth, fifth episodes.
It's about the fact that media has changed. We now know that you don't need to tell people constantly what you're going to do.
And you just do it?
Before you do it, you just do it. That's actually like a huge thing that has changed in media. You know what I mean? Or it's the opposite where you have to tell people, hey, there's about to be a trailer for a movie. Please don't leave. Please stay and watch the trailers. There's little trailers for the trailers. But I think in terms of a lot of the videos that we do now, they used to be the idea of like you have to explain everything. And then now you've learned that like, well, I think you lose people when you explain it. So now I think people can get the context clues.
Have we lost
statistically, we've had over a 50% churn rate in the last 3 years.
Aw, is that good or bad? You said churn rate like it's bad.
Let's get to that first opinion.
I'm serious. I don't know if it's good or bad.
What?
Your water.
My name's Philip. I'm from L.A.
Hey, Phil.
I cannot sleep right now, and I was thinking, any savory dish is made 100 times better with the addition of garlic and or onion. I can't think of a single one that would not be better off with either of those included. Love the show. I can't stop listening to it.
Oh.
Love y'all. Peace.
Aww, love you too, man.
Thanks for listening. You need to pop 3 melatonins and go nine-nine, though.
I like his gravelly voice. I want to see him do like a sort of alt-rock acoustic set.
You should take a bath with lavender oil.
I think you should sing an acoustic version of Black Hole Sun.
Black Hole Sun. Won't you? R.I.P. Chris Cornell. Love you.
I've been to his grave.
Why?
Just moseying about. No, he's buried at Hollywood Forever.
Oh, okay. I was like,
I was watching Empire Records there.
Some people like to, you know, go on walks in graveyards. I've never been that person. Oh, I cannot even imagine doing that for fun.
Oh, it's so fun.
The spirits overwhelm me too much.
No, I love it. I feel very at peace.
Let me tell you, I think I have like a weird, you're not going to believe me. I have like a weird connection to like the dead, so much so that like I stay away from like the concept of it. Hardcore.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well.
Okay.
Biscuits and gravy.
I would love onions with biscuits and gravy.
Garlic? Do you say garlic and or garlic or?
I think allium in general. Onions and white gravy? Yum.
Onions and white gravy? Yeah. Garlic, no.
It could like a little bit kill you.
There's stuff that too much onion really hurt. Ooh, I think, well... So onions and in a pasta sauce.
Not cooked right or well, yes.
But even just like, I don't think onions add anything. Garlic certainly does, though.
I like onions and tomato sauce.
But this is a very Italian thing to not add garlic and onions in the same dish. A lot of Italian dishes, they say garlic or onions.
Is that so?
And that's not to paint with too broad of a brush, but that's a lot of Italian chefs that I've heard.
Oh.
Whereas in America, we're like garlic and onions constantly, and I think they're certainly a wonderful combo.
Now, if you are sensitive to bloating, if you have SIBO or IBS, you don't eat those things. Like the FODMAP salsa we had.
What dishes would be like made abjectly worse by adding garlic and onions?
I am on the same boat as our friend Philip here. I have no idea. I can't even think of a single dish where onions and garlic would not make it taste better.
Yeah. Julia was out of town, and so I did the little hyperfixation thing where we had a leftover, where I'd cook the same meal like 6 days in a row.
Oh, yeah, you do that.
In an effort of trying to perfect it, but we had a loaf of rye bread left over. And so I said, yeah, we're making patty melts every day.
Yum.
Ground my own beef, did that whole thing. And at first I was like, I want to do like a caramelized onion, but make like a caramelized onion mushroom kind of marmalade. Yum. Kind of make it deep and savory and whatever. Mm-hmm. And I thought about adding garlic and I was like, no. Garlic is, I think, going to take away from
the headiness of the mushrooms.
Exactly. Yeah. It's going to add a wonderful garlic flavor, but I'm chasing mushroom umami right here.
And that's fine.
You know?
Yeah.
And so like there's ways to add to use your judgment. But also, yeah, I think the American way to cook, too, is very just like chuck garlic and a lot of things.
But I will say this. They did emphasize savory dish, and I think the caramelized onion mushroom concoction you're making has a sweet note to it.
Sure, but also like
but I would consider it to be a sweet savory condiment almost.
I want to think of a food where if you add either garlic or onions, it would make it objectively worse. What are foods? The burritos.
So good.
No, yeah, wow. Yeah. Onions are wonderful.
Curry needs it.
Curry, yeah. Curry. Well, yeah.
Asafoetida, whatever.
Yeah. Like an orange chicken.
So, onions and garlic and orange chicken. Yum.
It's also pretty sweet.
Yum.
I'm always trying to like make Filipino garlic rice.
It's hard.
You know, it's wonderful. But like, yeah, I think I'm like really. Like chicken, oniony chicken adobo with garlic rice. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Sometimes I don't sit on the couch and eat ever. There is something about sitting cross-legged, eating chicken adobo with your hands, like, and just like gnawing on it with like the sopped up rice that chicken adobo is the one food I eat on the couch.
It's bizarre. That's not a good couch food. You know?
No, it is.
Spiritually, it's a good couch food.
No, it is.
Technically, mechanically,
when I make
it's
it,
not.
No, that's not true. And I do bone-in chicken.
Okay. It's just not like a piece of pizza that's easy to eat on the couch. You know what I mean?
I hate eating on my couch, but the one food I will eat is chicken adobo. Incredible. On my couch.
I can't think of anything. I've racked my brain.
You're right.
And
you're
I feel like there's got
to
be.
Congratulations. You're right.
Spinach,
go to bed now.
Spanakopita? No, garlic spig. One more.
Please.
Hey, Josh and Nicole. So my wife has the opinion that spoons are completely useless because when you can't eat with a fork, you can just drink.
Well, yeah. No.
Yeah.
No.
I wager that if that is the logic we want to go
arms?
By,
yeah.
Then we don't need utensils at all. Because what you can't drink, you can just eat with your hands. It'll be messy, but you can do it.
Why isn't your
spoons
wife calling?
Are more like convenient
us.
For
what?
Eating
she
certain
like
things. Even if you can eat them with a fork. But I want to hear what your opinion is on this.
Yeah. Fascinating. One, I feel like I love you and your wife's dynamic. Nicole and I were just talking about influencer drama, and I was talking about how me and Julia, we don't talk about any of that because she has no idea what's going on. She just wants to like paint and teach our cats how to do tricks, and I love that for her. You know, and then
so
we have
sweet.
Stupid discussions like this.
It's not stupid.
Any argument whose crux lands on forks have more utility than spoons, I simply can't abide by. So I fully am on your side. I fully disagree with your wife. I love the thought process that she's coming at this with, though.
Okay.
Anything you could spoon, you could just drink. And then you kind of flipping that logic and saying, well, anything you could fork, you could just eat with your hands.
But who wants to do that all the time?
I agree entirely. So certain... I guess what would the utility of a spoon be? Something like rice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Something like rice that you can't just drink. And you could say, well, you could eat rice with a fork. You could eat rice with chopsticks. What about something like Persian rice?
Impossible.
Impossible to eat with chopsticks. Fork, you can do it. It's not as good.
You could still get it.
Falls through the tines.
Yeah, but not like that much.
No, not that much. But like I would rather use a spoon for that. I think the Filipino method of using the backside of a fork to scoop onto your spoon.
That's a Filipino thing?
I believe so. Filipino, sound off in the comments. But the old fork, the old using the fork exclusively to get food onto the spoon, I think that rules. But I have long been a proponent of chopsticks and spoon combo. But I do want to see how far you could get with just hands and drinking. Because I think you could get very far.
I think you get far too. I just don't want to wash my hands all the time. I'm not a big hand washer.
Do you
washer.
Not have to wash your hands after every meal you eat?
What? What did you ask?
Do you not have to wash your hands after every
not
meal you eat?
Not all the time, no. Sometimes I just do this.
No way. Wait, Logan, you eat a meal, you're washing your hands after, right?
No.
Why?
Sometimes I just use a napkin.
Yeah. A wet nap?
There's not a single, unless it's a smoothie that I've drank, which one point for drinking, but there's not a single meal that I've eaten in maybe my life where I haven't fully washed my hands afterwards. Not for cleanliness. You know me. I play it
for
loose.
Textures,
I'm
textures?
Loose, man.
Is it the textures on
no,
your
No, I'm f***ing filthy. I'm
because
covered.
You use your hands.
Yeah, that's how I eat food, man. I'm up to my wrist.
Not
I'm
everyone,
up to my wrist in juice.
Not everyone is wrist deep in juice like you are. That's a you thing.
I'm thinking like dinner tonight.
Meatballs.
It is, yeah. Meatballs cooked in the like, kind of romesco-y thing. Uh-huh. And then I made a kind of like carrot-y rice. I just had a bunch of carrots and bell peppers to get rid of. So kind of like spiced turmeric carrot rice.
Okay.
And then some steamed broccoli. And I'm thinking like, this is all fork and spoon food. You know, you have a wet sauce and a kind of loose rice. Surely Josh isn't going to be covered up to his wrist in juice, but I am because I have steamed broccoli florets.
You said you were raised Montessori-ish?
Yeah. But I was also just more so than that. I was raised by like a schizophrenic mom with no rules, and I had to figure out society
by
myself.
Because you like to touch your food after you eat it.
I love touching the yeah.
And I'm wondering if that's related to baby led weaning that your mom probably did with you because of Montessori, because that's like a part of it. And you used to like touch your food after eating and she would just leave it and you would just touch it all the time.
Maybe it was that I was starved for human touch and so all I had was the touch of food.
I'm not trying to psychoanalyze you. It's just, again, everything I see is through the lens of being a mom now, right? So
sure,
right now
yeah.
I'm feeding Eve solids and I put food out for her and I let her absolutely touch it all over and rub it on her face
yeah.
and get familiar with it, right?
No, that's how I've always been, yeah.
Okay, so I'm thinking there's maybe a correlation between you eating and then finishing your meal by putting your fingers all over it.
I think so.
Probably because that's maybe what you did when you were a kid.
Maybe. Because I'm getting those broccoli florets and I'm touching them with
and
my hands.
And you're squeezing them.
I'm squeezing them. I'm dipping them into stuff. I'm
yes.
eating them. I'm sucking my fingers.
Yes, yes,
you
yes.
You know what I mean?
So I wouldn't be surprised if there's some sort of correlation with you having that background and you right now being filthy after eating everything.
You know what I'd like
meal.
To explore? And what? Maybe there's a sort of Andy Warhol type video we can do on this where we just show it up close to my face. But just eating a whole bowl of spaghetti with my hands.
That's not that weird.
You know?
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
You know? I'd like to do that because that's how people used to eat pasta.
Spaghetti
you know
is a hand,
mean?
Can
hand
be
spaghetti.
A hand food. It can be a hand yeah. food. You ever had pastina?
Yeah.
Pastina with your hands? Yum.
Sounds wonderful.
It's like polenta.
You're eating like biryani with your hands? You
of
know
course.
What I mean?
And you just
you
squish
can eat rice and
dude, are you kidding me? I literally, whenever I feed Eve, I just put it in my hand and I just put it out like this. Like, you know how you use your thumb to push it?
Yeah.
Up.
Oh my God.
I do
yeah.
The same, I do the same thing with her. I just go blimp.
I love to me that is the best way to eat food, you know?
Yeah.
And so many, you know, anyways, you're right. Your wife's wrong. You got to get a divorce now. Sorry. Have fun on the apps. I've heard their nightmares
I
now.
I don't think everything needs to end in divorce. I think you and your wife can have different opposing opinions and still share a beautiful life together.
I think you can as well. On that note, thank you so much for stopping by. A hot dog is a sandwich. We got new episodes out every Wednesday on our YouTube channel.
We have our own YouTube channel.
It's back. It's
have
so
you
back.
Subscribed to it? You should if you have nothing else going on.
You subscribe, Nicole will give you a dollar. Well, she'll give you
I
a
will
rebate.
Not give any.
She'll send you a coupon for a rebate.
This is not Nathan for you.
Up to a dollar.
This is
so
not
good.
Nathan
that's
for
such
you.
A, that's the one where he talks about drinking his cream.
Yeah, a great episode, but we will not be. I will not be doing any sort of rebate service. I don't do rebates. No. What am I, T-Mobile? Oh, and if you want to be featured in Opinions Diet Casseroles, hit us up at 833-DOG-POD-1.
Can we talk about T-Mobile's glow up?
What are you talking about?
They used
about?
To be like the sort of like, you know, like they were the Johnson & Johnson vaccine of of cellular service. And I've been a T-Mobile kid my whole life.
I've been a T-Mobile kid forever. Now it's Sprint, right? Is it Sprint now? What is my phone carrier?
I think mine's still T-Mobile, but I don't know.
T-Mobile! I use T-Mobile.
I'm now proud.
I don't feel strongly about having any sort of carrier.
Yeah, I don't know. It used to be like kind of embarrassing.
My dad had SBC Global.
I don't know what that is.
Exactly. It's like a Cricket.
You ever see the Boost Mobile guys under the tent?
Yeah, Boost Mobile, Cricket, SBC Global.
Oh, that was the same.
It was all the same.
They were the brick and mortar check cashing place of cellular service. Well, if you want to see more of us, you can also go to the Mythical Kitchen channel where we do plenty of other styles of videos. See y'all next time.
Bye. Why does it feel like healthy snacking always has to taste so incredibly bad? You do not compromise in any other area of your life, so you definitely shouldn't have to compromise when it comes to your food. That's why you need to try Bavarian Meats Zero Sugar Meat Sticks. Seriously, the absolute number one feature here is great taste, zero sugar.
They completely eliminate the trade-off between nutrition and indulgence. These snack sticks are macro-friendly, guilt-free, and perfectly support an active, high-performance lifestyle by delivering 9 grams of protein per serving, zero sugar, and zero carbs. Great flavor takes time, which is why Bavarian meats are slow-smoked and naturally fermented using only real ingredients.
They are the ultimate portable solution for your daily snack cravings, allowing you to hit your nutrition goals while enjoying an amazing savory treat wherever you are.
Pick up a pack today at your local grocer or stock up at BavarianMeats.com/podcast. Use code HOTDOG10 at checkout for 10% off your first order. Bavarian meat snack sticks. Great taste. Zero sugar.